behind every good preaching man is a good preaching wife. And they don't have to be preachers, but praise God.
Take it away.
She's amazing. I met her for the first time last night, and I got in the car, and I told my husband, I said, that woman is crazy. She's a lot of fun from what I've been around her, and I'm excited about this week and getting to know her better, as well as all of you. And I appreciate you letting us come. We count it a privilege that we are here, and we're excited about what God is going to do. He's doing great things all over. And just being with you last night and seeing your hunger for the Lord, I know she was explaining to me that many of you have traveled very far. It's taken you a long time to get here, and you are just hungry for God, and that excites me. And I am looking forward to God doing great things this week. Thank you for our cabin that we're staying in. It is so cute, and we are enjoying it. They gave us a wonderful basket full of all kinds of goodies and junk food, and that was very nice. You guys have been so kind, all of you that I've met so far. Thank you for being nice and speaking to me. I walked in and didn't see anybody that I knew. I met all of you Palmer people, and I didn't see you, so I was a little unnerved, but I met some very nice people, so thank you. Thank you very much. Today, I am not a preacher. I'm not going to get up here and scream and holler and spit all over you. But I do have something that I want to talk to you about. I've just come to share something from my heart with you. I have a burden for young people, and I have a heart for you. It's not easy in this world serving God, but He is our strength. And I don't know many of you, but I can say that I love you. You are my family. And before we get started, like she said, I know you guys are tired. I was tired. I did not want to get up this morning. I think I stayed up till about 2:30. It's so hard to go to sleep here. We tried shutting the blinds and, you know, all of that, but I finally got to sleep. And then when my alarm went off this morning, I was like, wow, I don't know if I can do this, but God is my strength, right? So before we get started, I'm going to move a little closer. I feel very far away. I just want to ask, just in case I need to spit, I want you in spitting distance. I want to ask some of you, if you're willing, to maybe share something about yourself to me out loud, just real fast. You know, your name, where you're from, how old you are, a hobby that you have, something like that. Anybody. You're 20, all right? That's Naomi. Nice to meet you, Naomi. Somebody else, shout something out. From Sitka, all right? I'm sorry? Kelsey, that's your name? Okay. Somebody else? You like shoes. Awesome. I like shoes. Somebody else? Ooh, nachos are good. Do they have nachos here? All right. Anybody else? I didn't hear you. You like bowling. Oh, I like bowling. I'm not so well. I'm not good at it at all, but I like going. My kids like bowling, but we have the bumpers up, so that's good. You need sleep. I do too. I'm going for a nap later. Okay, so those are all things about yourself. And I hope to get to know some of you better throughout this week. But today I just wanted to share a little bit about myself. My name is Michelle Cox, of course. I'm 34 years young. I am married to an amazing man, and I have three beautiful children, two girls and a little boy. My girls are 11 and 8, and my little boy is 3, and I miss them oh so much. We've been gone from them about a week, and we have a few more days to go. It'd be a total of like 12 days that we've been away from. It's the longest time, and I'm having a really hard time, especially when I call home and my little boy says, Mommy, I want you to come home. I said, Baby, I want to come home. So it's been hard, but it has been fun. And I also love bike riding. So those are all things about myself. And it sounds pretty nice, right? Sounds like I have a nice life. And I do. I have a blessed life. I'm thankful for my life. However, my life hasn't always been that way. I have struggles and have had struggles, just like each of you. And what's the age of this camp? 12 to 19 or 20? Or however old, right? Okay, so we have a wide age group here. But I haven't always had a great life. And not that my life was absolutely horrible, don't get me wrong. And the stories that I shared with you today, I want you to know I have a great mother and father, but they didn't know the Lord, okay? And I don't want you to get that I'm saying that I have horrible parents, okay? I don't. But my mother and father, they divorced when I was 2. So I never grew up knowing what a father's love was in the home. I never knew what that was. My mother, she had, throughout my life, she had married and divorced 5 times. So we moved a lot. And I never really knew what it was for a husband and a wife to have a loving marriage. I never knew what it was like to have a loving father in the home. I wasn't close to my father growing up. We are now, thankfully. But growing up, I was not. And it wasn't until I was 12 years old that I received the Holy Ghost. And I'm very thankful for that. But that wasn't when I was introduced to the Lord. Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And looking back over my life, I understand this verse more and more. I can look back over my life and see how God's hand was in my life and how he was drawing me and calling me to him and directing me toward him. And I can remember back as a young girl, probably, 4, 5, my dad's mother, my grandma, she would take me to her little Baptist church that she attended, and she lived far away, well, maybe like 2 hours away from me, but I would visit her every other weekend. And every time that I was there, she would take me to church with her. She was a faithful church-going woman, and she made sure that I was there every summer during VBS to go with her, and she taught me the importance of faithfulness to the house of God, and I'm thankful for her. So looking back, God was reaching for me even then. And then my mother, my mother's mother, my other grandma, she did not grow up knowing the Lord either. And in her adulthood, she found the Lord. And I was a young girl, and she received the Holy Ghost and started serving the Lord. And so she started taking me. I think I was like 6 years old when she started taking me. And she started taking me to her Pentecostal church. And so God was reaching for me then. You know, my little faithful Baptist grandma was teaching me the importance of faithfulness to the house of God. And then the Lord saved my other grandma and started taking me to the Pentecostal church. And I can remember us getting ready for church, and she would say, "Michelle," she'd say, "what shoes should I wear?" She'd pull out these high heel shoes, and then she'd pull out these comfortable shoes that, you know, were just the kind of shoes you really want to wear, but at times you put on the dress shoe instead. But she'd say, "which shoe should I wear, these shoes or my shouting shoes?" And at the time I was like, "well, Grandma, I don't care what shoes you wear." I didn't understand what she was talking about. But now I do. Now I know what she was talking about. And she taught me the power of expectancy. She, before she even went to church, she knew that that service was going to be awesome, and she was going prepared to get all that God had for her. So she taught me the power of expectancy. So God was reaching for me, and he was teaching me things even back then. And let me just say, where the presence of the Lord is, there is power. And nothing is impossible with God. So whatever you've come here with this week, God is able. He's our strength. He's our salvation. He's our friend. He's our comfort. He's able. He's powerful. So my Pentecostal grandma, she was taking me to church with her whenever that she could. And about the age of 10, she passed away. She took me as long as she could, and she had cancer. And she just got to where she wasn't able to get out of the bed and go. But looking back, I can remember her laying there in her bed, listening to preaching tapes and crying and weeping and praying and all of those things. And I didn't know the Lord like I know him now. But looking back, she was teaching me those things. She was teaching me a love for God, faithfulness, all of those things. So God was reaching for me. And it wasn't until, well, it wasn't very much longer after she had died. My mother had met another man, and she remarried for the third time. And we moved again. And where we moved, we lived close to one of her distant cousins who was actually an apostolic preacher. And he pastored a church nearby. And she got in contact with him, and they were talking, and he invited us to come. So we came. And we started going there, actually, for a while. And I loved it. I had met new friends, and they had even talked to me about going to church camp with them. And it sounded so fun. I was so excited about going. And then my mom just fizzled out. She didn't want to go anymore. I don't know if she just got tired of driving or what happened there, but she fizzled out. And my mother actually ended up getting a divorce from that man. And eventually she met another man, and of course she remarried him. Only this time, he was a backslider. So looking back over, God was just reaching for me, and he was drawing me and calling me. And even though some of the situations that I was in wasn't ideal, God took those situations and he turned them around for his good. And so he was a backslider, but all of his family still attended the Pentecostal church. And it was his sister that actually had invited me to come with her and her family. She had some children that were my age, and it was on a Bible study night. And I agreed. I wanted to go. And I'll just tell you, from the moment I walked into that church service, I had been with my grandma. I was very young when I went with her, and I thought they were actually crazy. They scared me at times. But walking into that service, I was 11 years old, and I immediately felt the presence of the Lord, and it was just like it swept over me, and I started crying, and I was kind of embarrassed, actually, because I didn't understand why I was crying. And we got there right as time for church to start, and so they brought me up, and we sat on the front row, just right there, actually, where you guys are sitting. And I cried through the whole service. Every part of the service, I cried. Offering time, I cried. Worship, I cried. Preaching, I cried. And the altar time come. I don't know if they normally gave an altar call or not, or I don't know if they just seen me sitting there crying and they thought, hey, let's get her to the altar. But they gave an altar call. And so the people that I was sitting with, they said, would you like to go pray? And I said, sure. And I didn't really know how to pray. And so we went to the altar, and they prayed with me. And I tell you, I felt the Lord like I had never felt him before. It was the most amazing feeling that I had ever felt. I mean, I had said little prayers here and there to God, but I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have a relationship with God, but feeling his love sweep over my life and his presence, it was just awesome. And I didn't get the Holy Ghost that night, actually, but I went home and I just started sharing with my mom what I had felt and how so excited I was. And here was her husband sitting there who was a backslider. And I don't know if it did something to him or not, but eventually they started coming to church with me. And long story short, he got refilled with the Holy Ghost, and She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And actually, I had gotten the Holy Ghost before them. So, but God did an amazing thing within our family. And at that time, I was like, wow, this is what a family is supposed to be. A mom, a dad, a dad that loves me, that cares for me, and we're all going to church. This is amazing. Thank you, God. And I was just living the perfect life. And then all of a sudden, one day, I came home. I had spent the night with a friend, and I came home, and my mom was crying, and I was like, Mom, what's the matter with you? And she said, you know, she said, I'm getting a divorce. Terry was his name. Terry has cheated on me, and I've given everything to him. I've given him my whole heart, and I've given my life to God, and look what's happened to me, Michelle. Look what's happened to me. I can't believe God would let this happen to me. And she started blaming God, and she got angry, and she said, you know what? I don't want any part of church. I want nothing to do with it. And right then, my heart crushed. I thought, wow, what just happened here? I had the perfect life. God had taken me from all of this junk and all that I could have been, and he had saved me and brought me out of, well, if I would have kept going the way I was going, my family has alcoholics in it. I really can't tell you of anybody that's ever stayed married. I would have been headed down a road of drinking, drugs, divorce, prison. All of that was within my family. But God saved me, and I was so thankful. And then it was like my world came crashing down. And I was 12 years old, like many of you. How many of you are 12 here today? I was 12 years old. I couldn't drive. I didn't know how I was going to go to church. I didn't even know if my mom was going to let me go to church. She was so angry. And all of these thoughts and questions started coming into my mind. And I contacted my youth leaders, actually. And I was very close to them. And I just called them weeping and telling them what had happened. And just said, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I've changed my life. I have new friends. I have no desire to go back to what I was before. This is my life now. I said, I don't know what to do. And they reassured me, we're praying for you. God is going to help you. He's going to bring you through it. And we're going to be there to pick you up every service. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, Michelle. We'll be there. And let me just say, your youth leaders, they care about you. They really do. They love you. They pray for you. So listen to your youth leaders. When they come to you with something and they're trying to guide you away from something, listen to them because they're in prayer for your soul. So my youth leaders, they were there for me. And they picked me up many, many services. And looking back, I'm sure it put them out many times. They had a family of four children. And they had to get ready early just to drive across town to come get me. But they did it out of the love of their heart. And I'm so thankful for it. So they picked me up. They brought me. I spent many weekends at their house. And I had just made up my mind that I was going to serve God no matter what. I was going to keep going to church, even if I was the only one in my house. I had made up my mind. This is my life. This is who I am. This is what I want for myself. I'm going to do this. And was it hard? Absolutely. It was hard. At times, it was very hard. And did I ever feel like giving up? Yeah, I did. And just some examples that I was going to share with you this morning. I can remember, of course, waking up, getting ready for church. Keep in mind, I was 12 years old, and waking up for church to get ready, and everyone else in my house had been up late, you know, and they were still sleeping, and I had to get up and fix my own breakfast, get myself ready, and wait for my ride. Did I want to go back to bed at times? Yeah, I looked around and everyone's sleeping, and I thought, man, I would like to just go lay back down today. But I was determined. I was determined to serve God. There was times that I would go to church and I would leave my house heavy-hearted. And I would go to church and God would give me like this amazing blessing, and he would give me strength. And I felt as though when I went home that my mother's heart was going to be different. That when I went home, she was going to be like, Michelle, you know what? I need God. I just knew in my heart several times that when I went home, it was going to be different. But instead, I would go home after having this amazing blessing and feeling high and all of that in the Lord. And I would come home and there would be a wild party going on, drunk people everywhere. There was a time that I came home that there was someone that was so drunk they had passed out right in front of the door. They had puked in the floor and they had passed out face first right in it. I have came home before and there would be someone drunk passed out in my bed. And so here I came from a church service feeling the power of the Lord. I was determined to serve God. I was feeling faith. I just knew my mom was going to be different. And then I would come home to that. And if you let it, that would diminish your faith, right? And at times it did. But I was determined that I was going to serve God no matter what. I knew that I didn't want that lifestyle. I knew that I didn't want to be where they were. So I had a determination in my heart. It was almost like my mother, she wanted nothing to do with church, and she was angry at God, and it was like she was holding everything that man had did to her at God. And so because of that, she was like turning the total opposite direction, and she was doing the opposite of what she knew to do. I mean, worse than what she had did before she even found God. And it was like she wanted to just do everything that displeased God. And just me being in her presence brought conviction to her life. I didn't have to say anything to her. In fact, I would very rarely say anything to her because it would always cause an argument. But just me being there just made her feel conviction. And she would say things to me like, Michelle, stop being holy, so holy. Stop condemning me. You know, and I'm like, Mom, I'm not even saying anything to you. But it was at the times when she knew she was doing things that she shouldn't be doing. And there I would be. And I didn't have to say anything. But just my lifestyle, my example was bringing to remembrance what her life should be. And so she would say those things to me that really hurt my heart at times. But I was determined that I was going to serve God no matter what. I can remember many nights living with one of my mother's new boyfriends that she had. I can remember going to my bedroom and locking myself in the room and just praying and crying and weeping. And at times, I didn't even know what to pray. I didn't even have the words to say. I would just lay there sobbing and weeping before the Lord. And God knew my heart. He knew what I was going through, just like he knows your heart. You don't even have to speak what you're going through. He knows every hurt that you have. He knows every question that you have. He knows everything about you. He knows your needs. And so I would lay there weeping before the Lord and just asking him, God, just deliver me from this. Save my mother. Deliver me out of this. And, you know, it was during this time that the man that my mother was dating, we lived with him, of course, and he was a drug dealer. He dealt pot. He smoked pot. He smoked it in front of me, in fact. He would bring home trash bags full of pot, and he would lay it out on top of the kitchen table, and he would begin weighing it and bagging it up, and we'd have people in our house all hours of the night to buy the drug, you know. And looking back, I know that God's hand was upon my life. You know, who knows who came to that house? You know, I don't know the people that came there, but they could have done things to me that were unthinkable. But I know God's hand was upon my life. He had a plan, and he had a purpose for my life. And it was during that time that I believe I really established the importance of a relationship with God in my life, because I didn't have anybody. I didn't have anybody to encourage me in the home. I didn't have anybody to say, it's okay, you're going to make it in the home. Now, I had my church family, but when I went home, I didn't have anybody. And so it was me and God. And I had to find my own relationship with him. And I had to develop a prayer life with him, because how many of you know he's our strength? And without God, we are nothing, and we can do nothing. And prayer and the Word of God is the only thing that kept me. Prayer was my strength, and the Word of God was my direction. And without that, I wouldn't have made it. And I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful that he kept me, that he directed me. Because without him, I'm nothing. I am nothing without him. I encourage you guys to get in the Word of God and to find a promise in the Word of God that fits your situation. There are so many promises in the Word of God that are true and that we can stand upon. In our time that we're going through things or we have questions, get in the Word of God. The Word of God has nuggets for your life that will take you through every situation that you face. And get a promise. And when you get in that time, when you're feeling like, I can't do this anymore, this is hard, you know, get that promise and pray that promise and believe that promise. My favorite scripture growing up was Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Because there were times that I thought, there is no way I can do this. But then I would read that scripture, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So get a promise. Get a promise. The Word of God is true. You can stand upon it. You can trust in it. You can believe in it. All right? Amen. Amen. When I was your age going through what I just shared with you, I knew God had a calling for something for me to do for his kingdom. And over time, I felt as though I was going to be a pastor's wife. And I wasn't much older than you. I was probably 13 or 14. And I felt like I was going to be a pastor's wife. And nobody had ever said that to me. And I didn't know how I was going to be it. But I just felt that in my heart. And actually, at times, I would look at other pastors' wives that I looked up to, and I would think, man, there's no way that I can be that. But I knew, I was like, well, God, I really feel like you want me to be. But I would look at them, and I would think, you know what? My life is nothing like theirs. There's no way I could be that. I didn't grow up like them. I couldn't do what they're doing. I didn't have the parents they had. There's no way I could act like that or do that. But you know what? Those were just lies from Satan. He was just trying to distract me. He was trying to keep me from all of that which God had for my life. Because God had a plan for me. He had a purpose for me. Because Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen. 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 He was my strength. He was my strength. And all it takes is a made-up mind, a determination, and it takes you keeping him the center of all that you do, of every decision that you make, of every relationship that you have, of every friendship that you have, in every conversation that you have. Keep him the center of everything in your life. Everything. That is most important. And when you keep God the center of everything that you do, everything that you say, everything that you are, you can make it. You can make it because he is your strength. So maybe today you can relate to my life, maybe in some parts and maybe some parts you can't. Maybe you are serving the Lord alone, or maybe you grew up in the truth. Maybe you have parents that are in the truth, or maybe you have a sister or an aunt or an uncle. It doesn't matter, really. Either way, we're all equal. We're all the same. We all have struggles, right? Is there anybody in here who has never struggled? Not one. We all struggle. I'm going to ask you to do something, and only if you feel comfortable. I just want you to show me by the show of hands, is anybody in here serving the Lord alone in your home? Raise your hand if you're the only one in your home that's serving God. Amen. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. All of you can make it. Amen. I'm a testimony of that. You can make it. You have what it takes. You have the Lord. You can make it. Now, how many of you were born into this? How many of you, your family, are serving the Lord? Raise your hand. Awesome. Awesome. Partially. Partially. How many of you, partially, your family, are serving the Lord? Awesome. You can make it. You can make it. You have what it takes. You have God on your side. We can all make it if we keep him the center of our lives. It's so important to keep him first. It's so important to develop a relationship with God. Whether you're serving God alone or whether you're serving God with your family, you have to develop a relationship with God, which means you're maybe going to have to lay aside some things. You're maybe going to have to miss going out with some friends here or there. You're maybe going to have to give up something. But it's so important and it's so worth it to develop a time that just you and God get together and you worship him and you share with him your day and you share with him your feelings, and he communes with you and he gives you strength and he speaks to you. It's so important, and it's so important that you get in the Word of God. Know the Word of God. Love the Word of God. Cherish the Word of God. Honor the Word of God. And with those things, you're unstoppable. You are unstoppable. You can make it. Amen. Amen. And I don't know if you normally have prayer during this time. Okay. Do you mind if I just would like to, in prayer, before we came, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you my testimony. And I felt like that he would have us to pray one for another. Those of you who are serving God alone, I know there's not many here today, but I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged today. And those of you who are serving God with your family, I want you to be encouraged as well. Even though you're serving God with your family, that does not exempt you from struggle. That does not exempt you from temptation. That does not exempt you from walking out on God. I want you all to be encouraged today. And I'd like for you to stand. And if it's okay, I would like for, if you feel comfortable, those of you who say you are serving God alone, I would like for you to come up front here. If you feel comfortable, and if you want to bring a friend with you, that's fine. And those of you who are serving God with your family, I want you as well to bring a friend, and I want you to come up here. And I don't want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for your friend. And I want you to pray for your friend as though you would want them to pray for you. You guys have the Holy Ghost within inside of you. You have power. You have authority. And I want you to bind together with your friend, and I want you to pray for them. Pray for them with power. Lay hands upon them. Pray for them. And if you want to ask them something specific that you want them, that they want you to pray for, do so. pray. Pray with all of your heart. And be a strength and an encouragement to one another, because we can make it if we have God, if we have prayer, if we have the Word of God. And we too need each other. We need each other. Okay. Praise God. Amen.
Sister Bartley, start the music. So go, everybody come up. Everybody. You saw the hands raised of the people that are serving God alone. And you know the support that they need. You know what they come home to. She testified what they come home. Yes, please. They testified, but before we start music or anything, I have a verse I want you guys to hear. I took you from the ends of the earth. This is God speaking. From the furthest corners I've called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Praise the Lord. He says, I have plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. God has plans for you. God has plans for you. Pray with someone this morning. Lay hands on a friend that's doing them themselves. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.